Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Morning Beat this Thursday, March 26th. AJ and Michaela here broadcasting 6 feet apart from Michaela's living room.
Wait,
once again. This is our new normal. What, Michaela? What is it?
I'm dying that you had to look down to see what day it is.
Okay, good.
Because you are representing so many people.
Girl, I have
like,
no idea.
What day is it even anymore?
I don't know
is
what
it a Thursday,
month?
Tuesday? Are we in August?
Okay, in my mind, I've already canceled March and April.
Yeah.
I'm tentative on May. I'm hoping I can celebrate my birthday in July. That's all I'm looking. That's the only thing.
But
I'm holding
on
by a thread.
But is your birthday even in July? Like, I feel like I know nothing anymore.
What is July?
And we report the news.
Yes, and what is a calendar? Does it matter?
Who cares? Did I have a bottle of wine yesterday starting at noon? I don't know
anymore.
Okay,
calm down, Michaela. You did not have a bottle of wine. You did. I can tell.
I had a glass.
You look a little. You look glossy-eyed still.
Okay, do you want to tell them about your broccoli?
Okay, so I made dinner last night. I made dinner last night for my partner and myself, and I did have a half a glass of wine. We watched Survivor. I'm a huge fan. I'm loving the season. It's all the past winners from like the last 20 years. So I know many of them because I was on a reality show, a Mark Burnett reality show back in 2011, and I'm friends with many of these people. So it's wild to see them all compete. So I made steak, I made broccoli, I roasted broccoli, I did baked potatoes, I sauteed mushrooms, and had a half a glass of wine. Here's the problem with AJ and broccoli. We don't mix. I'm surprised that my partner did not run out on me last night while we were sleeping. I'm just going to say the bedroom did not smell great. I know it's early for that. I get it.
AJ Gibson,
listen,
we're here to inspire, not discuss.
I know. But this is my truth.
Well, listen.
I don't know what
you
day it is.
You have nobody to impress anymore. I mean, I think like Monday you started showing up in jeans. We're down to sweats now.
Barely.
And we're not even being judged. Everyone is just living their most comfortable life, not knowing what day it is. Here is a friendly reminder, though. Drink some water and have a vegetable. We've been living off Doritos. So you're not the only one, but try to have a sip of water today if you can make it to the kitchen.
You're like basically a doctor right now.
Yeah, I'm serving a lot. And have a good meal because we have a great show. We've got from Bravo's Top Chef All-Stars, Melissa King joining us. She's part of the community, so I'm so happy to talk to her about how we can eat better during this quarantine.
She's a part of many communities. She represents a lot of different communities, which I think is great. And I'm so glad we have her on today. I'm super excited to talk to her. Also, we have this story coming from Pornhub. Really, really inspiring story. Pornhub is doing really something special right now to help people through this time of crisis. We're going to tell you about that in a little bit. Also, a little bit later in the hour, we're going to be talking about this viral challenge going around that involves poop and or peanut butter. That's all I'm going to say for now.
And it's coming from parents.
Yes, and little kids. It's adorable.
Okay, it's so cute.
We basically give it all away.
Yeah, so you know what? We're not... Just forget the story. The story is...
No, we're doing it. But first, how about news on the beat?
All right, babe. The number of coronavirus cases is closing in on 500,000 worldwide. Now, more than 472,000 have been sickened and 21,000 have died from the virus. And the areas most deeply in crisis keep shifting. Spain now has more coronavirus deaths than China, second only to Italy. Japan and New Zealand have recorded their largest single-day spikes in diagnosis. Now, coronavirus has also reached the UK's royal family, which announced that Yesterday, 71-year-old Prince Charles, next in line to the throne, has tested positive. The American epicenter of the outbreak is New York City, where the number of cases is doubling about every 3 days. You know, I read that NYU is actually trying to have their medical students graduate early so they can get on the fields and start helping. That's how crazy this is.
A few schools across the country are trying to get them out of there because they're supposed to graduate this spring. They're trying to fast track it and get them out there to help people.
Yeah. Well, in other news, Australia's Great Barrier Reef likely experienced its most widespread bleaching event on record, which could be a devastating blow to the already at-risk marine site. Bleaching happens when coral, which are living things, expel the algae that live in them as a stress response to warmer water. This greatly damages and often kills the coral over time. Now, this is the third time it's happened in the past 5 years, and scientists are very concerned for the reef's future, which is interesting because as the world is shutting down, it's giving a lot of our wildlife a chance to live and kind of like refresh itself. We've been seeing dolphins in the ocean.
Well, I'm curious to see, and here's sort of my weird hope. My weird hope through all of this is that maybe the world shuts down long enough that we see that the lack of emissions going into the air can actually adjust climate change. I don't know that it's possible. I don't know the science on it, but that's what I'm hoping for because everything's melting, the water's getting warmer, the Great Barrier Reef is bleaching. This is all bad.
All right, well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy, happy birthday. You deserve to be celebrated. And you're celebrating with Bad Baby.
Oh,
Catch
Lord.
Me outside.
Oh, Lord.
Is 17.
I did
Catch me outside. Oh, how gosh. About that?
Okay, so before,
we can't catch you outside, Bad Baby. You're quarantined.
You're inside. And before the world was starting to fall apart, I covered her on a story on Wendy Williams. Remember a few weeks ago I was in New York City before everything happened? And I got dragged on social media by her fans.
Ugh. Well, a happy birthday to her. Also, 80s movie icon Jennifer Grey hits the big 6-0. Yeah, this is what we need on a Thursday, Monday, Friday. We still don't know what day it is, but
we've
got Jennifer Grey.
I'm obsessed with Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, we love her.
Love her.
All right, give us a vibe of the day.
Okay. Your vibe of the day. May you remain calm in times of fear so you can witness it fade away. Take your time to respond when you're tempted to rush and react. Be like water. We're actually going to be talking about this, I think, maybe tomorrow. Rushing and reacting to other people in times of crisis right now, and maybe how we should be a little more just choose our words.
A little more level.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Chef Melissa King joins us from Bravo's Top Chef All Stars to talk about quick and easy foods you can make while stuck inside. We'll have that for you coming up next.
15 chefs have returned, the fiercest this competition has ever seen.
Savages.
So hard.
It's hard.
I'm shocked that I'm here.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. AJ and Michaela here, just feet away from Michaela's kitchen because we are broadcasting from her home right now because that's the world we live in. So we thought it'd be a great opportunity to bring on Melissa King. Now, she is a contestant on Top Chef. She's been on the show before. She's back for another round right now competing in the kitchen. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're fantastic.
Good, Melissa, but we're in desperate need. You know, at first I thought this was going to be an incredible interview, but it looks like now that everyone's isolated, me especially needs cooking tips because lean cuisines are no longer working.
There's only so much you can do with frozen foods.
You know? It's true. So this is your second time on the show. What does it feel like coming back?
It's kind of all the same feelings all over again. And, I'm actually surprised how they were able to convince all of us to come back because it was such high stress, so much anxiety. But it's also equally a lot of fun, the entire experience alone. So, I'm just excited. Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of what happens with it all.
Okay, so for those of us, I'm pretty good in the kitchen. I'm not going to lie. I'm no Top Chef, but I can handle myself. But for somebody like Michaela, who walks into a kitchen, breaks into a sweat, and has no idea how to put
eats all her quarantine food in one sitting, 14 days worth of food.
Any advice for people who are trying to get through, you know, this next few weeks, and their kitchen's a little bit limited, they're nervous about going to the store. What are some simple tips and tricks for people trying to get through this in the kitchen?
Sure. You know, I think right now everyone's just really tapped into Instagram and social media and, you know, following other chefs to kind of learn tips. I know that I'm posting a lot on my own social media to kind of help inform people on how to use, you know, your basic pantry items like canned goods or kind of heartier vegetables that last longer, like potatoes and root vegetables. And so I'm doing a lot of tutorials as much as I can. I also want to try to post some kind of cooking classes and do some Instagram lives together. But I do know the entire chef community out there is really trying to push out as much content to help you guys at home as much as possible.
And you can follow her at Chef Melissa King on her socials. I think that's really great. And this is a neat opportunity to actually kind of shut down and reset and like learn some new skills. So maybe the online cooking classes, Michaela, I'll join you.
Yeah, that's not going to ever happen. I like overflow cereal. It's just not for me. Some people can't, but we are so grateful that Melissa King, you can, because not only are you on Top Shelf, but you do so many different things. Being an Asian American queer female chef, you bring so much visibility to our community. But I want to kind of talk about going back to everything that's happening with COVID-19. You are no stranger to fighting a good fight. You work a lot with the LGBTQ community, but what feels like getting attacked right now is our Asian community due to awful rhetoric that's happening, a lot of racism. What do you have to say for people that are really bringing race into this COVID-19?
You know, it's really, it's disheartening. You know, it's really, it's upsetting for me personally as an Asian American to even to hear that that's even happening. You know, we are not a virus. You know, this is something that we are all fighting together. And I really think this moment in time is a time for the communities to all join. You know, it's really kind of testing humanity and testing, you know, how we all work together to survive this. And end of the day, it's really it's a virus that unfortunately is affecting everyone around the world right now. And I hope we can just be kind to one another and have a little bit of compassion for what's happening and really try to look out for each other.
Such a powerful message, Melissa. I will tell you that last night, my partner and I ordered Thai food. Tonight, I think we're getting Chinese food because we're actually making a very concerted effort to order Asian right now because a lot of people just are not because out of ignorance or fear or whatever it is. So it's a very, very powerful message. Are you based in San Francisco still? Is that correct?
I am. Yeah, I live up here, but I grew up in Los Angeles, so I kind of spend my time between both cities.
Well, what are you seeing
when I'm able to move around?
we're down in LA, and we're indoors quite a bit. But what are you seeing up in San Francisco? How's the community responding?
How are we responding to just the entire thing?
Yeah, to all of this that's going on right now.
You know, I would say the differences that I see between even just LA and San Francisco is, you know, San Francisco is a very community-driven city, and so I feel, you know, once the shelter in place started happening, everyone just immediately fell into order, just decided, you know, I'm going to stay home. And it's about staying home is really about protecting the rest of the community and trying to not overflood hospitals. And so I really saw, you know, everyone kind of work together up here compared to what I've been hearing within my own family down in L.A. I know in their neighborhood, there's a lot of robberies happening and crime is kind of going up. People are kind of holding people up for groceries. It's a little frightening for me to hear that's happening even in Los Angeles. And I can only imagine other parts of the country. Yeah. So again, you know, I really think this virus is really testing everyone and testing how much compassion we do have for each other. And it's just something bigger. And I really hope that everyone can just be a little kind to one another and, you know, check in on your friends and family virtually and see how they're doing. Listen to each other. I think right now is a time to really show our love. and how much we can spread that.
Could not agree more.
Thank you so much. Well, we want to remind you guys, well, you are stuck inside. You're not stuck because you can binge watch Melissa King giving us advice on how to cook properly. And you can watch her tonight on Top Chef All-Stars LA Thursdays, 10, 9 Central on Bravo. You really do check off so many boxes, like AJ said. And we are so appreciative,
Melissa, I adore
that you represent
you.
Our community so well. And you're teaching us all thank how to you. Cook. Really more so me because I just don't know how. But thank you, Melissa King, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
We have more for you. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. AJ, Michaela, and Michaela's dog Rocco on my lap right now as we broadcast from your living room, which, by the way, is kind of sexy. Your home is sexy.
Oh my God, stop it.
This music has me feeling some kind of way.
This music makes me feel sexy.
I should probably get this dog off my lap right now because we're talking about porn.
Oh, Rocco.
That's right. We all know what the internet's for. The internet is for porn. If you didn't know that, well, go see Avenue Q on Broadway. It's not there, but whatever. It's one of my favorite Broadway shows of all time.
I mean, listen, it was what Tumblr was used for, and it was that was a pandemic when they took that off Tumblr.
Amen. So this story is really uplifting
yeah.
in more ways than one. Pornhub is now offering free premium memberships to people who are self-isolating. This program started in Italy and is continuing here in the United States now. They're giving you 30 days of Pornhub premium for free if you stay home
Come
and
on.
Stay safe.
Let me tell you something. I love this so much because they've shown it's shown that the numbers and traffic have increased by 11.6% as of March 17th. So people, while they're staying home, are wanting to go on.
Of course.
But now, while we're nervous about money, they're like, listen.
We got you covered.
Don't worry about it. Also, the company is donating over $75,000 and 50,000 surgical masks.
That's the coolest part.
In efforts to stop COVID-19. So they're winning all the way around.
Well, the vice president of Pornhub had this to say, Corey Price. He said, we hope by expanding their offer for free Pornhub premium worldwide, people will have an extra incentive to stay home and flatten the curve.
Yes.
Look, enjoy yourself. Don't go out and try to like meet people or hook up. Get off of the dating apps. Stay home. Enjoy Pornhub Premium. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't know there was a premium version.
I didn't even know what that is.
I'm very well aware of Pornhub. My mom is listening. This is terrible. I know. Okay, never mind.
Well, maybe she needs to know what it is so she can look too.
My dad's home now from work too. I think.
Yeah.
He's good.
Listen, you can watch it with your partner or alone, and I think that. Listen, let's just talk about it.
You could recreate scenes. You could put on acting school.
Okay, but let's be honest. When you're stressed out, which many people are right now, mm-hmm. you look to a few things to help decrease the stress. Mm-hmm. You eat a little bit. Maybe you have a glass of wine. But something that always helps is having sex.
Sexual activity,
yes. Be it with yourself or with your partner.
So this is great.
So there's no need to feel guilty.
Wow. Do I look guilty right now?
I'm just saying, if there's a listener feeling a little guilty.
Why are you leaning in and speaking to me like that, Michaela?
Maybe I'm talking to myself. I don't know.
I feel guilty about having your dog on my lap this entire segment. Yeah. That's a little bit weird.
That's a little bit
But kudos to Pornhub. And way to, like, they're doing this all over the country. Like I said, they started in Italy. They did it in other countries like France. And now they're here in the United States. I think it's a really great program. And also, it's a good way to build brand loyalty.
Absolutely.
A lot of companies right now are giving away free things just to sort of like say, hey, once we get through this, remember us.
Well,
we were here for you.
On top of all of that, they are also donating $25,000 to Sex Workers Outreach Project. And that organization is helping sex workers impacted by this pandemic. Now, I'm very, very open-minded. I think as a whole, our station is very body positive, sex positive. And you have to wonder what is happening to people who do make their money off of their bodies.
Especially now when people are afraid to walk within 6 feet of one another, let alone go, you know, be intimate with somebody else. I mean, I can't even imagine how some people are even surviving right now. So it's great that an organization, a company like Pornhub is keeping those people in mind.
Yeah, I think it's lighthearted, but I think it's for a bigger picture. It's just stay home. You've got everything you need.
You know what else you can do while you're home?
What?
Listen to us. You can listen to us by saying, hey, Alexa, play Channel Q on radio.com, or OK, Google, play Channel Q on radio.com. Or you know what else you can do, Michaela?
Tell him.
Download the radio.com app and listen to our podcast.
I mean, it's just that easy.
I've been here for 3 months now. There's a lot of really, really great content you guys can listen to if you're looking for another way to kill some time, maybe before or after your Pornhub premium session. I mean, I'm just, the possibilities are endless.
They are endless. All right, well, coming up, we have another story that's gone viral. It's a challenge where parents are terrifying their children, and it's hilarious. We have that for you coming up next.
Oh, don't you worry. That's just the sound of a mother laughing at her child who just thinks that she got her poop on him.
Oh,
this is
awful.
A new viral challenge going around in the era of COVID-19 and self-isolating. It's called the poop challenge, because why not? Because that's what we do. It reminds me of, do you ever watch Michaela, those Jimmy Kimmel videos where he has parents pretend like they ate all their kids' candy at Halloween?
Exactly.
And the kids freak out and they go nuts. Well, that's sort of what this is.
Oh my God, it's the best. Well, it's so funny to see how little kids react. And so there's one video, the mom will sit down, she pretends like she's going to the bathroom, and she yells for her baby. She'll say, hey, bring mommy some toilet paper. When the baby comes in, she'll take melted chocolate from her hand.
Or peanut butter or something brown.
Or peanut butter, and put it on the baby. And the babies literally freak out.
This is exactly how I would act as a 39-year-old man if somebody did this to me. I would cry as well.
Anybody. And I mean, these kids are having an actual fit. They just get so upset.
They have meltdowns. These videos, I could watch them all day long. There's so many of them online right now. Yeah.
Yeah, but with all of these little kids getting really upset, there's a poop challenge going viral of a mom trying to trick her little girl. Her name's Alani, and so she does what every mom has done, and now with over 14.1 million views, this is how the little girl reacts when she thinks her mom pooped on her.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Mom.
Alani, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, Mom.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're not mad at me?
Nope. I'm not mad at you.
But that's poop.
I know. I'm wasting it all.
Are you washing it off?
Yeah.
Could I? Okay.
Oh, my. My ovaries.
This is not my ovaries. If this is not the cutest little girl in the world, I don't know who is.
She's so sweet. And the mom said, did the poop challenge on my daughter, but this was her reaction. Gosh, I love her so much.
Her mom has to feel so awful.
Well, she probably did, because another mom, when this mom did it, her son flipped her off. He was 4.
You know what? I will be honest. We've got this up on our website. If you want to go watch these videos and get some links to other ones as well, head over to wearechannelq.com. But I'm going to be honest. When I was a little kid, I don't know how I would have reacted. I don't know if I would have freaked out or if I would have been kind and sweet to my mom.
No. I would have been disgusted.
Really?
Yeah. I think because poop is gross.
Poop is gross. But also, I just love that parents are using this opportunity as they're homeschooling their children and spending time with their loved ones to mess with their kids. Because I'm a firm believer there's no reason to have kids other than just totally mess with them.
Yeah, well, they deserve it. A few days ago, my sister-in-law is obviously at home working with the kids, and she was having a staff meeting over Zoom. And my niece, who's 3, was trying to get her attention, and she was not getting her mother's attention. And so she ripped off her pull-up and took a poop right in the middle of the floor. And my sister-in-law was like, I have to go. My coworker over here just... went to the bathroom.
These stories are cracking me up. I saw a girl sit down. I think we talked about it on the show the other day, but she was on a Zoom conference, didn't realize she was still on video. Put the phone on the other side of the room and sat down on the toilet and started dropping a deuce.
I know.
And then realized that it was actually a video and not just audio, and the entire 20 people saw her, and she was humiliated.
I love it. Well, maybe we'll try the poop challenge on my niece. I think she'll make it a good time. But I love Alani. Keep these. These are the challenges I like. They're lighthearted. They're funny. I adore them.
Just so you know, if I try this on you, it's real poop. So you know.
It probably is. That's why you brought me the toilet paper.
No, I'm not. I'm going to take that back. I did. I'm going to take that back because somebody is going to do that for real. They're going to take it too far. Mark my words.
You know what? They always do. Look at the Tide Pods.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. AJ and Michaela broadcasting from Michaela's humble abode right now. We have a great hour coming up for you in just about 20 minutes from now. We've got John Taffer. You may know him, you may love him, like Michaela and our producer Justin do from the hit show Bar Rescue. Almost 200 episodes in, he's got a lot of insight on what to expect for the hospitality industry coming out of this pandemic. And he also we're going to talk to him about Las Vegas. You guys have that in common, Michaela.
Yes.
And what it's like there right now.
Yeah, I feel like he's the best person to talk to. I mean, just throughout the nation, he's saved so many bars, but really now it's a life or death situation for so many of just my friends, our listeners, 94.1 HD2 in Vegas. I mean, where everything is just shut down. And of course, the bars and bartenders of America.
Yeah, I was talking with a good friend of ours last night. I got the phone call from a very popular restaurant. I don't know if it's been released publicly yet, but here in Los Angeles, and they've shut down. They're done. They're not reopening. And they went through and called over 100 employees last night, and she was one of them. They said they can bring her on, hopefully, to another one of their locations. She's on like a short list of servers who have been with the company for so long. But they're all just being told, like, look, there's nothing to come back to.
Well, that's the problem. And I think that what we're not having enough of the discussion is, like, okay, these places are shut down for 2 weeks. Well, they may not be able to ever reopen because the 2 weeks was so devastating to their finances.
Well, here in Los Angeles, just what was it yesterday or 2 days ago, Mayor Eric Garcetti said, listen, this is going to be a months-long process. This is 2 months minimum. This is going to get way worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And they think we're about 6 to 10 days out from where New York City is right now here in Los Angeles. And then also there's a cluster down in Louisiana as well, in New Orleans. So it's starting to happen all over the country. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear his take on, you know, what he thinks the industry can do to kind of bounce back if there is anything they can do.
Of course. Well, we're going to continue that conversation. We have a great show for you this hour. So
and I believe we also have some big numbers coming in from unemployment numbers coming in across the country, and you have that in News on the Beat, yes?
Yeah, so here's what's going on. 3.2 million people on unemployment happening currently. And those are really big numbers.
I mean, new filings.
There's new filings. And if you think about it, I mean, granted, there were people on unemployment before, but it's just going to get worse. Like you said, your friend just lost her job yesterday.
The numbers in California alone, just in the last week or so, there have been over a million new claims in California alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's devastating. So we'll continue keeping you updated. Maybe we can have somebody even on to talk about how to file for unemployment.
Yeah.
I know the phones are so crazy. It's got to be so frustrating. But for so many, it's life or death. They have to stay on the phone in order to get a check.
I've used unemployment over the years. I mean, through period, and a lot of entertainers and people who work in the industry have. You in between gigs, you have a few weeks here, a couple of months here where you have nothing going on. But right now, people are relying on it for their only source of income, which is really scary.
Absolutely. You know? Well, speaking of income, the Senate has approved the massive $2 trillion stimulus package. So now what? The House is due to vote on it Friday before it reaches the president's desk. Since several House members have tested positive for coronavirus, leading lawmakers are pushing for a voice vote, which would avoid forcing all members to return to Washington for a roll call vote. Though several Democrats have issues with the bill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has urged critics to recognize the good in the bill to get it passed. What's actually in the package? Yes, there are stimulus checks amounting to $1,200 per individual, but varying by income and family situation. Student loan payments would be suspended through September. The airline industry would get billions in support, as would hospitals. And the arts would get a little help, too, with $100 million in relief. Not included in the package, money for Trump's southern border wall, which
thank God. No money for his southern border wall, and also no money for his hotels and his businesses who might need bailing out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is big.
Well, the Democrats are in a weird spot right now. With frontrunner Joe Biden off the campaign trail and sequestered in his Delaware home, Democratic super PACs.
Yeah, super PAC. Political Action Committee.
Filling the void. Yeah, but you know, I called the World Health Organization the WHO for like 2 weeks.
Also a great band back in the day.
Yeah, they were. And Pac-Man. He's filling the void when it comes to public criticism of President Trump and his coronavirus response. Groups are spending millions to whip up ads nailing the president for his handling of the pandemic. But while the crisis could be the defining issue of the election and Trump's presidency so far, some experts fear attacking him on his response could be a gamble. Listen, a lot of people want Governor Cuomo at this point, so yeah. That's where we're at. If you're celebrating a birthday, a happy birthday, you're in very good company. You're celebrating with the one and only Nancy Pelosi. She hits the big 8-0 today. She's 80 years old.
Wrap her in bubble wrap, quarantine her, and keep her safe somewhere, yeah. Along with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, keep them together, ladies. Of course, Aerosmith, who's so hot, I'm obsessed, leading man Steven Tyler, celebrating his birthday, 72. Sing for the years.
I feel like this is another one of those songs that people sing on American Idol a lot.
A lot. Well, yeah. Especially when he was a judge. They wanted to impress him with his own song. Okay, give us a vibe of the day.
I can do that. May you remain calm in times of fear so you can witness it fade away. Take your time to respond when you're tempted to rush and react. Be like water. And also drink water. I added that part.
Yeah, do. And have a vegetable or two. All right, you guys, coming up, John Taffer from Bar Rescue joins us to discuss how to help bars across the country during COVID-19. Coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We've got a treat in store for you today as Michaela tries desperately to keep her home bar stocked. We thought it would be a good opportunity to bring in the man himself. We're talking John Taffer of Bar Rescue, which is back for another season, but he is on the line with us now. John, thank you so much for joining us.
John, I'm going to say it. I'm obsessed with you. I know all the bars that you've rescued. Just going to put that out there. Big fan over here.
Thank you, Michaela. You know, it's very inspiring when people say things like that to me.
Are you a fan of me?
Yes, the show. The show is, you know, all about that hug in the end for me. You know, and that's what keeps it going. I've made 187 episodes now, I believe. Wow. No, I'm sorry, 194 episodes.
That's impressive.
That's so crazy. Well, and sometimes when you see the show, it feels so unreal. But for people that aren't as familiar, what is it, a bar that's not doing well and they'll reach out asking you for help, and then you go in and you really remodel and give them a second chance to make good money and have a successful bar?
Yeah, it's true. You know, most other shows that are similar to mine focus on the kitchen. They revise the kitchen. They revise the menu. I'm not a chef, so I move all over the business. I'm not pulled to the stainless steel, so to speak. So Bar Rescue becomes deeper because it isn't the chef doing it. You know, I'm focusing on front of the house operations much more than a chef would. We're focusing on, you know, merchandising, visuals, eye movement, all these kind of things in the front of the house. And I think that's one of the factors that makes Bar Rescue different than maybe more evergreen in some of the other shows, is the fact that I'm not a chef who's locked in the kitchen.
Well, I'll be honest with you, John, I'm so sorry. I'll be honest with you. I've been drinking more than I've ever drank in my life the last couple of weeks. And so that brings me, like, how do we support local bars? Obviously, I'm going to the grocery store and getting bottles of wine and booze, but how can we support local bars and help them bounce back after this sort of weird era that we're in right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's two prongs to that question. First one is, how do we support them now? Well, the problem is you can't go there, and unless bars are selling food, they can't ship a cocktail, right, or cause a cocktail delivery. So smart bars are going to have some kind of a food program, even a ham sandwich. But by ordering a ham sandwich, you can also order cocktails back to your house. So I think the bar industry needs to understand the connection to food, and I think they need to promote that they can ship deliver to you great cocktails. Something else is very interesting that I think bars have done. And a good friend of mine, Tiffany Deary, who's a chef down in Dallas, what she's doing is she's doing make it at home to go packages. So what if a bar put a little sweet and sour mix in a cup, you know, put a little of this, little of that, and set you up to make it fresh at home? So in essence, it's de-assembled cocktails delivered at home. So I think we need to be creative in that way. But for every bar and every restaurant, I offer this advice. We can't raise revenue now. No restaurant is going to survive by delivery. Keep in mind, guys, you know, normally we do 100 to 200 covers in lunch. That's an hour. You can't do that in delivery. It's impossible. You don't have 100 cars driving around. Right. So delivery does not solve this problem for us, even though it's a Band-Aid. What solves this problem for us is, in this downtime, we have to build brand equity. We can't raise revenue, but we can raise brand equity. So we take a look at some of the commercials of what people are doing in giveaways. Why can't we post on social media, you know, why our bar is important, what we're doing, how we're quarantining, the kind of programs we're putting together, that they're still sanitizing the operation. We have to find something to say to keep out there and keep our brand equity alive.
John, I think that's such great advice. We've been talking about that a lot on the show this week, about this is an opportunity for brands to really show what their customers mean to them and to build some loyalty. You were sharing a story with us a moment ago. You and Michaela have this Las Vegas connection, and you were saying that Las Vegas, this is interesting, I never considered this, many of the casinos didn't even have locks on their doors because they'd never prepared for something like this.
Yeah, we're 24/7. Casinos don't close. So these revolving doors, and many of these doors, next time you're in Vegas, you'll see there's no locks on these doors.
Wow.
I never even thought about that.
So they had to board up all the revolving doors. They had to block off all the driveways. The police are keeping anybody nowhere near the buildings. But when you drive down the street, Michaela, in Las Vegas, and you see the boarded up and everything is empty, it's one of the saddest things I've ever seen, because every building I look at is another 12,000 employees that are not working.
Wow. It's so interesting, because being from there, my partner is as well. I feel so devastated, but I think that many people around the world have created such amazing memories, or not, in Vegas. And so they know and love Vegas like we do. What is the energy right now in Vegas? We know that we are hashtag Vegas strong. We've recovered a lot, but this feels a little different.
Yeah, I think this one has sort of knocked us off our feet. You know, we don't have any timing to look forward to is when things will open. I don't believe any of us believe that, you know, this is going to end in 3 weeks and suddenly the hotels are going to fill up again.
Right.
You know, Las Vegas is a very different kind of community. It does not have a diversified economy. It's all based on tourism. Florida has orange growth and agriculture. They also have the tourist destination, but they have agriculture and other diversified industries to support them. Las Vegas does not. And when you look at the population of Las Vegas, of about 600 to 650,000, about 25 to 30% of our entire city's workforce has been laid off, and there's no other place for them to go. Here's what worries me, guys, and let's look past this pandemic, and let's say that today we're reopening, just for conversation's sake.
Yeah.
Are you going to sit next to a stranger at a bar 12 inches away from you?
Wow.
No.
I never considered that.
Won't. So here's what nobody's talking about, and I refer to the National Restaurant Association and every pundit out there. For us to go back into business again, we have to employ a social separation, social distancing in our restaurants, which means I can't sit people next to each other anymore. Just because the president says it's over doesn't mean it's going to change our society. So now, to facilitate this, I have to remove 30% of the seats in my restaurant.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm removing 30, and I've been working on this for days, guys. Mathematically, I now have to remove about 30% of my seating. Now, that means every rush period, lunch, dinner, happy hour, is going to have a capped volume at 30% off your peak.
We're with John Taffer. I'm going to interrupt you very quickly. We know you from Bar Rescue, but with our listeners in Vegas, 94.1 HD2, and many of our listeners in this country, we want to continue this conversation and also follow up with what we do with other bars in other states and your mixologist line. Stick around. We'll have more with John Taffer from Bar Rescue.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Michaela and I are freaking out a little bit right now because we're joined by John Taffer of Bar Rescue. And before we went to a music break, we were talking about how restaurants are going to, after this pandemic passes, which you don't believe is going to be any time in the next few weeks, but we agree with you on that. You say the restaurants are going to have to reduce by 30%. Can you continue what you were saying?
So in essence, if a restaurant holds 100 customers and those tables are pretty tight, you're not going to sit next to a stranger at the other table. People are not going to sit side by side. So this is a sociological trend that is not going to end overnight. It might fade. So to make a restaurant work, I can't put you within 5 or 6 feet of a stranger, can I?
Wow. Yeah.
So I have to remove probably 30% of the tables in that restaurant, which reduces my revenue potential by 30%. Most restaurants only profit 12 to 18%. So if I have a 30% reduction in payroll, I have in revenue, I have a serious problem.
Well, John Taffer, I want to open the conversation even more, because if restaurants are only getting 12 to 18% revenue, I know that you worked at the Troubadour many years ago. How are music venues and theaters going to be affected by this after the pandemic is over?
You know, it's funny. I won't say his name, but one of my dear friends is the fourth or fifth largest movie star in the world. And I won't mention names because there's no reason to. But we were talking yesterday. A movie theater is never going to be the same. I mean, are you going to sit next to somebody who's a total stranger to you after this? Are you going to put your arms on the same arm rail? So, I think the industry that's probably threatened the very, very most is the theater industry. And what will happen is it's very easy for film distributors to distribute them right to us on pay-per-view, bypass the theater process. They can probably make more per view in that fashion. But I think the number one industry that's impacted from this is movie theaters and live concert venues, because they're very densely populated environments.
Well, I'd love that you bring that up, because we talked about Universal Pictures. They're actually in the process of doing that right now. They're releasing a lot of their films as opposed to going to theater. And you also mentioned like big concert venues. How does this change the look of concerts and nightclubs and things like that moving forward, in your opinion?
Well, I think they're spreading. So I think, again, we're not going to allow people to bunch up in standing crowds. When I ran the Troubadour, I mean, everybody was down on the floor in front of the stage, packed together like sardines. I just can't imagine that happening again for a long time. Mm-hmm. So what does the concert venue do? Now they have to take stand-up areas away, put seating in with space between them. And I suggest that they, too, are going to lose 30 to 40% of their revenue potential because of spacing in the environment. And what worries me, guys, is nobody's talking about this. I'm the only one who's talking about what happens when we reopen. Everybody's talking about what happens now that we're closed. And I have an answer for that as well. But the fact of the matter is, I'm terrified that when we go back into business, everybody's going to lose 30% of their tables, and that is going to take them down. So they'll fight this thing, and their volume will never get back to what it was just because of physical limitations. Well, that's my biggest fear for those who weather the storm.
John Taffer, I hope that you'll continue. You're right. You are really the only person talking about this, and it's a conversation that needs to be started right now. We hope that you'll continue on as these weeks move forward to call in and kind of check in with us, and we can help talk about this. But for people that are home, we want them to listen to you whenever they want. They can binge watch Bar Rescue, and they can have their own cocktail with your mixology line. Can you talk about where people can get that very quickly?
Sure. My mixology product, and it speaks to the situation we have now, is available in all Walmarts across the country, 4,478 stores. This Pina Colada Bloody Mary mix, it took me years to make these, Michaela. The recipes are incredible. There's no sugar. They're all sweetened with monk fruit. It's simple. An ounce of booze, 3.5 ounces of Taffer's mix, and you're good to go. Interestingly, since this virus started, Taffer mixologist sales are up 40% in Walmart.
Wow.
Of course.
Well, I get that. I've been drinking a lot, so yeah, I get that.
Me too. Well, while you're enjoying your pina colada, we want to remind you that you can watch Bar Rescue Sundays 10, 9 Central on Paramount Network. John Taffer, you have just enlightened us in so many ways, kind of broken my heart too for our listeners in Vegas and 94.1 HD2. Thank you for all the work that you've done rescuing and recovering bars, and we hope you'll continue giving us tips on how to rescue the world.
Yeah, stay safe, buddy.
You bet. And if you guys want to touch base in a week or so, happy to do so.
Thank you so much, John Taffer. We appreciate it. Again, 10, thanks. 9 Central Sundays, Bar Rescue on Paramount Network. We'll be right back with a new Channel Q.
If Michaela can catch her breath from laughing right now, we're going to do a show, guys. How you doing, Michaela?
I'm telling you, I have the giggles today. I woke up and I just started laughing, which I prefer over crying, which has been my other past couple of days.
Yeah, you're not manic at all, at least. You're
I'm
completely level.
Stable as can be.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. Before we get into what's popping, I just want to remind you that our show does go into a podcast form about an hour or so after we go off the air every day, and you want to listen to our past episodes, you have some free time on your hands, if you know what I mean. You can listen to our podcast and get to know us a little better. I've been here for about 2 or 3 months now, and I'm loving every minute of it. Well, most minutes of it I'm loving. Also, we want to invite you, as you adjust to your new normal, you can listen to us from home. Perhaps you can try us on your smart speakers, or you can just download the radio.com app. Listen to us Monday through Friday. So, Michaela, this story is really interesting to me. I low-key sort of have a crush on Colton Underwood.
Yeah.
And I hear you have an update on him.
So you might have an opportunity. So today for What's Poppin', Colton Underwood, you guys know him from The Bachelor. He's a ladies' man, but he's revealing a lifelong struggle in his new book with his sexuality. He, the 28-year-old, writes that he began to wonder if he was interested in men when he was in grade school, leading him to search through the question, was he gay? He said he didn't know who he was, and he came from a really athletic family, and he was kind of overweight, and he got made fun of a lot, and so he kind of just really kept to himself. And then when he started playing sports, he became captain of the football team. But he even then continued questioning his sexuality. Wait, wondering.
He's a virgin, though, right? He was a virgin on the show.
Yeah. So what happened was, because he was a virgin, oftentimes people were like, oh, you're a virgin because you're gay.
And so he was like,
am I gay? And so he continued questioning it. He doesn't even put a pin in this conversation. He just goes on to say, I'm now very currently happy with my girlfriend, Cassie. He's dating Cassie Randolph. While she's tending to his wounds, he's tested positive for coronavirus. He's been very, very sick.
Okay, come on. Listen. In 1 week's time, he tests positive for coronavirus. Then he's promoting the book coming out and says he might have thought he was gay for a while. Is he baiting us? I don't know.
Wait, who's this PR person? I don't know about that.
I know. If I'm somebody,
needs to get on that.
If I'm somebody's publicist, I'm going to say, okay, here's how we can flip the script on this conversation. We can get people interested in you. Come on, Colton. Don't do it to us. You better be honest.
Colton. Well, listen, he doesn't say he's not
okay,
gay.
Okay, but that's where my problem comes. That's where I have a problem. He's not saying that he's not.
Well,
he's dating a woman now.
I feel like it's a good conversation, and I think that you know this best, because I think oftentimes men who come from athletic families and play sports do question their sexuality. If they are gay, they feel like they can't come out. And because he's never had sex with anybody, he doesn't know what he wants.
I get it. I was an athlete, and there was a lot of pressure put on me. And I knew I was gay as the day is long when I was about 5 years old.
Yeah, you knew when you were really young.
I kept it a secret for 15 more years, but yeah.
Well, his book, First Time, comes out March 31st.
I'm getting it.
And I want to read it, too. I want to know.
Do you read books or do you listen to them?
I read.
Really?
I can't do audio.
Do you like e-books or do you like... like books, like
book
paper.
Books.
So do I.
Paper.
Oh, we're old school.
Well, you're old. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Listen, we've been cooped up and quarantined for 2 weeks, just me and you. And I have to say, we have not murdered each other and we love each other. But for couples that are also quarantined, coming up next hour, our therapist, Milo Dodson, joins us to talk about how to still have fun with your partner after being with them 24/7 for the past 12 days. We'll keep it light and fun. We have that coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Welcome to our third hour.
Oh, yeah.
3 of 4. We're trucking right along, Michaela. We've got a great hour coming up, too. We have Dr. Milo calling in, our therapist for Therapy Thursdays. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to him about how to maintain relationships if you're self-isolating or in a quarantine situation right now. We're also going to be talking to him about depression and people who maybe struggle with suicidal thoughts or tendencies, how we can support them and they can support themselves through this time of crisis as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, I'm definitely in my feels a little bit after talking with John Taffer, who was so wonderful, but the points that he brought up are points I think we really have not considered as a whole. I mean, to lose 30 tables and chairs.
Or 30%.
I'm sorry, 30% of tables and chairs and places
and restaurants
to
work
dine.
On a 12 to 18% profit margin. I had no idea.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great conversation. If you missed it, it's okay. Just make sure that you get our pod. We are a podcast after this, and you just type in the Morning Beat. Also, if you want, you can take us, download the radio.com app, type in channel Q, and listen to the Morning Beat from your phone. That way you can take us from your kitchen to your living room to your bedroom to your garage.
AKA dinner to happy hour to your yoga studio in your living room.
Yeah, listen, this it sounds crazy, but it's the new normal, and we are your new normal.
We
so
are your new
make sure to keep listening
hey,
in.
Isn't that a thought? We're the new normal, you and I.
Oh, God.
Two peas on a pod.
Listen, Channel Q, the gayest station ever, is the new normal. The gay, you know what? The gays knew this was happening.
God bless America.
We've been preparing for years.
How about some news on the beat?
Okay. All right. Well, the numbers are out, and it appears 3.2 million people have filed for unemployment in just a very short time. I feel like... Unfortunately, those numbers are just going to continue going up. But right now, 3.2 million people have applied.
Over a million in the state of California in just the last week or so.
It's crazy. Oh. Well, obviously, money is on everybody's minds. And so the Senate has approved the massive $2 trillion stimulus package. So now what happens? The House is due to vote on Friday before it reaches the president's desk. Now, since several House members have tested positive for coronavirus, leading lawmakers are pushing for a voice vote, which would avoid forcing all members to return to Washington for a roll call vote. Now, several Democrats have issues with the bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has urged critics to recognize the good in the bill and to get it passed.
Nancy, whose birthday is today.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we're going to give her a shout out birthday.
8-0. Also, AOC is saying she might not consent to this. She's saying she's not happy with this bill and she might not vote for it. So
okay,
I saw that out. Yeah, so.
Well, we'll continue talking about it. But for now, Australia's Great Barrier Reef likely experienced its most widespread bleaching event on record, which could be a devastating blow to the already at-risk marine site. Bleaching happens when coral, which are living things, expel the algae that live in them as a stress response to warmer water. These greatly damages and often kills the coral over time. Scientists say the rapid warming of the planet and its oceans are to blame for these events. This marks the third mass bleaching event on the reef in just the last 5 years, and the last two ended up killing about half the reef's coral. The organisms can survive if water temperatures go back down. Since this most likely will not happen, scientists are greatly concerned for the reef's future.
Well, it affects the entire planet. People don't realize how the oceans affect everything on Earth.
Everything. Yeah. It's crazy. All right, you guys. Well, we are finishing this news on the beat with Democrats, who are in a very weird spot right now. Frontrunner Joe Biden off the campaign trail and sequestered in his Delaware home. Democratic super PACs are filling the void when it comes to public criticism of President Trump and his coronavirus response. Groups are spending millions to whip up ads, nailing the president for his handling of the pandemic. But while the crisis could be the defining issue of the election and Trump's presidency so far, some experts fear attacking him on his response could be a gamble, since the situation still holds so much fear and uncertainty for Americans.
I think Democrats just need to show that they're here for Americans, find ways to fight for Americans right now and get them the supplies they need to hospitals and things like that across the country, and just stay away from Donald Trump. Let him dig his own grave right now.
Absolutely. All right, well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. You're celebrating with Keira Knightley from Love Actually and the Pirates of the Caribbean. She's 35. And Daniel Bregoli, a.k.a. Bad Baby, 17 years old. Well, you can't. You're in a quarantine, so stay inside.
You can't go outside.
You know what? That really turned on that bad baby,
didn't
it? Nobody's
going to catch you out there, are they?
No, nobody can.
And also, interesting, do you say Caribbean or Caribbean?
I say Caribbean, and then I looked at you to think, do you say it different?
No, it's funny because the film, I say Pirates of the Caribbean, but I say like Royal Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah.
Just something that popped into my head, Michaela.
Think about. All right, well, ending our birthdays with Jennifer Grey, who hits the big 6-0 today.
Love her. Okay, I'm going to watch this movie.
Because I had the time of my life. Love it. All right, baby.
Generally speaking, you have a gorgeous voice.
Oh, but when it comes to this?
Yeah, I don't think in that moment it really shined.
No, it never
quite
does.
Like it.
You gotta pay for this voice, honey. Okay? You gotta get checks for that good voice. All right, now please give us a vibe of the day.
May you remain calm in times of fear so you can witness it fade away. Take your time to respond when you're tempted to rush and react. Be like water. Listen, this has not been easy, especially on Facebook lately, but take a breath. Don't react.
Yes.
Be kind.
If you need help on not reacting, Dr. Milo is joining us next to talk about having patience with your loved ones during this quarantine. Trust me, it's day 47. You're going to need this advice. So coming up next, we have Dr. Milo for the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. AJ and Michaela coming to you this morning from the comfort of Michaela's living room. She's in sweats. I'm in sweats. We've got Dr. Milo on the line right now for Therapy Thursdays. Therapy Thursdays. Milo, thank you so much for joining us, Doc.
I'm glad to be here for whatever that title was.
I know, right? Listen, we're
renaming things today.
We've been stuck inside for a while. Our relationship is just fine. But yeah, we want to talk to you about the other relationships, though.
Yeah, because so Lisa and I, my partner, we normally do everything together anyway. We work together, we play together, we live together. But now being in quarantine, I think a lot of relationships are not knowing what to do being together so much because people have their own schedules and their own lives. They work 8-hour days. Sometimes they don't see each other for 16 hours a day. And now they're in just one room together. So how can people navigate during this quarantine as there's more weeks ahead with their patience and love for one another in this new territory?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great question. I mean, I think the reality is it's all fun and games until somebody leaves out the silverware on the counter, right? Or someone drinks the last cup of coffee. The main thing I want to highlight is that it's really important right now that we understand that we're in this together, that we're on the same team. So like some of the minor frustrations, like leaving out the silverware on the counter or, you know, things like that, those minor frustrations in the moment are a part of a larger concern related to the pandemic. And that has nothing to do with either one of you as partners. And so you're on the same team going through this. And in a general sense, conflict can actually be a normal and a healthy part of a relationship that can and should lead to growth. So we want to have an open dialogue and not, you know, just necessarily be debating and yelling at each other all the time.
Can you expand on that thought a little bit? Because I think it's really important, this idea of conflict being an opportunity for people who don't understand what that might actually look like or how to actually implement that in their lives. How would they do that?
Yeah, so conflict can and should be a healthy part of a relationship because when you're working through things, just like when you're working out at the gym, right? Like you're pushing up and using a muscle that you haven't before. And so when you're coming at it from a place of teamwork, you're growing in that together. You're both lifting the weights. So you're finding the common ground. You're remaining open-ended. And you're knowing that, hey, I have a genuine concern and empathy for this person. Let's talk this out. Let's start using more of these I statements and let's start to really think about things before we just attack each other.
Yeah, that's good. I was in a situation a couple of days ago where I try to stay off Facebook and not have these conversations right now because some of my family members back home in Ohio don't really see the world the way that I see it. But I've been trying to not get in Facebook debates right now, and I saw one happening between family members. And so I stepped in and I said, listen, guys, you know, I get that you're all frustrated, that you're all scared right now, but we're in this thing together. What sort of advice can you give to people who maybe aren't in a room with somebody, maybe it's not their partner, but family or friends who are in other places across the country posting things and having opinions and maybe sending you text messages and articles and things that maybe stir up some sort of discomfort in you? How do we deal with those situations?
Yeah, absolutely. So now more than ever is a time to learn how and when to disengage. So if you're really wanting to have an ongoing conversation, finding the right type of space to do that. So, you know, generally Facebook wall, probably not the space to do that, especially during a pandemic. And so when you have an opportunity to really work things through, just like with, you know, conflict with a partner, it's important to find the appropriate time and space to do that. Now, again, like I said, knowing when and how to disengage, we really, really want to be mindful and intentional about how to, you know, place that boundary. So do I want to continue to have this conversation, or at what point do I know, you know what, this was enough for today. Let me go back to watching Netflix.
Yeah. I want to talk to you very quickly about... This is also a very vulnerable time for people that are living alone to want to reach out to maybe relationships that should have ended and stayed ended. But when there's a pandemic happening, you think, oh, maybe this is the time. So they're reaching out to exes or maybe family members. I want you to sort of talk about how not to do that, how to stay strong coming up when we have more with Dr. Milo. Stick around with the New Channel Q.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Again, we're joined by Dr. Milo. Therapy Thursdays. And before the break, Michaela, you asked a really poignant question. Can you just ask that again for our listeners who are just now joining us?
So when people are alone, or even if they're not alone, people are seeking comfort and they may be reaching out to the wrong people, like family members that they've cut off or exes. So what advice would you give to stay with the boundaries that they've set to not reach out to these toxic relationships?
Yeah. So I think before you speak, think. So think as an acronym in this case. Is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And in this case, we're wanting to be kind to ourselves. So it's not just about the immediate gratification of having that immediate need met, but in the long term, is this going to be something that's helpful and sustainable for my own mental health? And having that very real conversation, saying like, look, this person may have did me dirty in the past, and maybe being able to have a sounding board with a trusted loved one so that you don't fall back into those old habits.
I love that acronym. I need you to send that to me so I can reuse that. That's really great. You better think. That's right.
You got it.
Of course, Michaela turns into a song. Another issue that concerns me, just because I have a personal story with this, is those who maybe suffer from depression, who have been suicidal. I've been very open about my story. The night I nearly took my life in 2016, I ended up writing a book about it and traveling the country, sharing my story, which is where I drew my strength and found my power. But for people who are in a mental state right now, who maybe are not just in the healthiest place, how can we support them, or how can they support themselves through a time that is so isolating?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, AJ, I just really always appreciate your vulnerability and your honesty. I think what you highlighted there is when we talk about our own story, when we let our own light be a shining force for others, we allow and encourage and empower others to do the same. And so in this case, I really want to encourage folks to think about who they can contact as that source of support. And how do we also continue to do things, even if it's just one step at a time, that are going to uplift our spirits? So, you know, in the meantime, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is always such a viable resource. And so that being 1-800-273-8255.
Mm-hmm. That is so good. And I thought about this. So I had my therapy session with my therapist. We do teletherapy yesterday afternoon. And I really got to thinking, and this is so strange. I don't know if this is normal, if this is how you're, whatever. I was like, how are you doing? You're a therapist. You're listening to people all day long. So even like a therapist, pastors, people who are out there on a daily basis helping people, is there any way that we can show them support through this time as well?
Yeah, you know, I think the reality is I have clients who are curious about, you know, my personal life, or like, who is this Dr. Milo, you know, Obama looking dude, right?
You said it.
You've got better lashes, and you know it.
It's not untrue.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you. I think the reality is clients are often curious about their therapists, and that's okay. I also think that therapists are in that space, myself included, knowing that we're in that space to serve the client. And so, sure, there can be an acknowledgement of that curiosity and just kind of a, you know what, thank you for showing empathy to me. But it's also okay in those moments, for that 45 minutes, for that 50 minutes, to just be about you. So you can say things like, hey, you know what? I just really want to wish you well. I hope that you're taking care of yourself. And be okay with leaving it at that. It's not a sign of being disrespectful or being insensitive to not really go into depth with your therapist like that.
So don't overthink it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dr. No, Milo.
Don't overthink it. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you so much. Thank you again. And for people that are listening, can you give them the suicide prevention hotline one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. So for folks listening, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, open 24/7, is 1-800-273-8255. And if you're looking for more ongoing therapy, because, you know, Therapy Thursday, we're talking it out, this is just more advice. But if you're looking for therapy, You can go to psychologytoday.com and find folks who are doing telehealth and teletherapy.
It is a really great resource. Thank you for sharing that. I also want to also give another number out to the Trevor Project for any of our LGBTQ listeners. If you're more comfortable speaking to somebody in the community, that number is 1-866-488-2386. Again, 1-866-488-7386. That is the Trevor Project hotline. Dr. Milo, thank you so much. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dr. Milo. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, coming up in What's Poppin', Jussie Smollett is out of his personal quarantine, and he's hitting Instagram. Find out how coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. AJ and Michaela here coming to you from Michaela's living room. We want to invite you to hang out with us Monday through Friday, or you can listen to our show in podcast form by heading over to the radio.com app, downloading that, and listening to past episodes of The Morning Beat. Now, just when we thought it was safe to go on social media again, Michaela, one star, one controversial star has risen from the ashes, and he's back on socials. What's popping?
Good Lord, honey. Okay, well, we talked about this story to death, and now he's back on Jussie Smollett. He's reemerging from his own personal quarantine, and the 37-year-old is singing. He's sitting there playing what appears to be like a little piano, and he had a little message for people, so let's take a listen.
Keep reaching towards the dream, moving on, moving on.
He captions it, quarantine day 421. Hope y'all are staying safe. Spread love and kindness, not Rona. I'm going to tell you something, Jussie Smollett.
Here goes.
First of all, that was a tacky version of that song. Didn't even sound that good with your little weird tink-tink piano. Secondly,
shade.
Not even a pandemic could help us forget how you embarrassed us and our community.
Here, okay.
Get back into quarantine.
You know me. I'm not huge on cancel culture, and I try not to cancel anyone, and I have not canceled Jussie. It doesn't mean I also support anything he says or does. What I really want to hear from him is how to survive quarantine, because he's been doing it for a year and a half.
Yeah, true.
I'd like him to give us tips and tricks to survive a
Everyone's
quarantine.
Everyone's out of jobs, so is Jussie.
Don't want to hear you sing right now. I want to hear you say, I'm sorry, and this is what I've learned over the last year.
Yeah, honestly, that's what it is for me. I don't tend to be a nasty person. I really try not to be, and I do not subscribe to cancel culture. But after what he did, and after I think so much of it was proven that he lied, for him to just come back reemerging like everything's okay during a vulnerable time for the entire world, as if nothing happened.
No real acknowledgement of what you did.
Yeah. And I went on his Instagram page, and a lot of my friends commented and were like, welcome back. And they're being very nice. But I think, if anything, now is the time to apologize where he could get forgiveness. Don't just avoid the fact that you created this entire lie.
It just feels like ego again.
That's what it feels like.
Because so much of the story back then was, remember, he had a performance coming up. Was it the Troubadour? Or where was he performing?
Here at the Troubadour.
At the Troubadour, yeah. And his ticket sales were low. And part of the speculation as to why he did all this was to get his ticket sales up. So I'm like, again, you're going to come back and try to sing to us?
Like, yeah, I don't buy it.
Come on, Jussie.
Not feeling it.
Do better. But seriously, like, how do we survive, like, in a quarantine? Like,
well, listen.
Tell us.
We don't know how, but what we're doing is a new segment coming up next hour called Checking In, where we're just going to be honest and real with you guys. We're your friends and you're ours, and it's just going to be a real moment that we share, whether we're feeling okay, whether we're feeling a little bit of anxiety. I know that I was feeling super optimistic a few days ago, but things
have... I'm sorry. Can we go back a moment?
Yeah.
Did you call me your friend?
Okay, my work friend.
Wow. I was so close. My heart is broken into a million pieces now.
No way. I was thinking about you yesterday, and I was like, we're going to be like hanging out with our kids one day, talking about how we were stuck in my apartment covering COVID-19.
6 feet away.
6 feet away.
We can
this,
call
we're
it,
bonded for life.
Our true life documentary will be titled 6 Feet Away.
Oh.
A friendship in tumultuous times.
Yes. With quarantine. Quarantine. We're on quarantine right now. All right, you guys, we'll have more as we check in live from my house. We are coming up with a new Channel Q.
Thanks for hanging out with us all morning. We've got a great final hour ahead for us. If you missed anything, always remember that you can download our podcast on the radio.com app and listen to any of our previous shows. Our shows go into a podcast form pretty soon after we go off the air each and every day. So please join us there and get in on the conversation. If you've got some free time, why not spend it with us? Here in this hour, we're going to be doing our new segment we like to call Checking In, where we literally just check in with each other. Because as we bring you information, love, and light, it's important just to see how we're doing, yeah?
Totally. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, what we need to be right now is just real. And we're positive, but we have our feelings. There's no articles attached. We're friends. All of us are in this together.
We're in Michaela's living room, 8 feet apart right now.
My dog is literally tap dancing on my hardwood floors, if you can hear it.
Lucky is 15 years old and just walks in circles all the time, tapping on the...
I mean, like, he goes from, like, we don't know if he's breathing anymore to, like, jumping like a bunny. So
if Lucky's okay in here hanging in with us too, so can you. Also this hour, we're going to check in with our nurse practitioner, James Simmons. We're going to be talking about... we've had a lot of questions about people who are using PrEP, and if you're self-isolating, do we need to continue to do that right now? We're also talking about this diagram that's been going out, this live diagram that Columbia University released, letting us know why it's so important that we self-isolate. We're going to talk to him about that at about 9:40 Pacific today, and then also we're going to do our segment Our Life Goes On.
Yes.
Which I almost said Let's Go There.
Yeah, well,
that's a show later in the day.
But also listen to Let's Go There later on today.
But in the meantime, we've got some news for our listeners. Yes.
So this is a big deal. A friend of mine had a Dodgers hat on, and they said, so sad, today would have been the day of Major League Baseball. And so it would have been. And
girl,
think about that.
It's called Opening Day.
It's called...
You called it the day of Major League Baseball. Wow. Sports.
It is the day of days. It is MLB. And
Opening Day.
Opening
Say
Day.
It.
It's Opening Day. It's Opening Day.
That is big
Listen,
news.
Well, it's. I feel sad. You know, we love... America's built on sports, too, as it is entertainment. People love it, and it gives people something to do and, you know, camaraderie. So... just kind of puts things into perspective that sports are out right now. Also, we just got word that 3.2 million people have filed for unemployment. You've been saying all morning it's over 1 million just here in the state of California, which is wild. And unfortunately, I think those numbers are just going to continue to get higher.
So many from the hospitality industry, I think, here in the state of California.
Yeah.
Gig workers, hospitality, and they're just being impacted so greatly right now.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of money, the Senate has approved the massive $2 trillion stimulus package. So now the House is due to vote on it Friday before it reaches the president's desk. Since several House members have tested positive for coronavirus, leading lawmakers are pushing for a voice vote, which would avoid forcing all members to return to Washington for a roll call vote. Though several Democrats have issues with the bill, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has urged critics to recognize the good in the bill to get it passed. Now, speaking of Nance, it's Nancy's birthday today.
It's a big one, too.
She's 80.
What's that, Michaela?
80. Nancy Pelosi, 80 years old.
We'll be real honest. The wheels start to fall off the show by about the fourth hour.
Yeah, Michaela, honestly, she's on a different level. I'm going back into accents. We don't know what that is yet. Just keeps us entertained. Also, Aerosmith and ladies' man, Steven Tyler, 72. Sing for the years. You know when you like know some of the words to a song?
Yeah, like every other one apparently.
But you should have stopped singing because you don't know any more of the words. Also celebrating a birthday, the incomparable friend of Channel Q and diva Diana Ross.
I love you.
Celebrating her 76th.
I love how you just pronounce it incomparable.
Birthday boss. How did I say?
A normal human would say incomparable.
It's incomparable.
No, have you ever?
How do you say it?
Incomparable.
Why don't you mind your own business?
Haven't you ever heard somebody introduce somebody who's like legendary as
the incomparable?
The incomparable.
Yes, huh? They say incomparable.
Sit in the corner. Oh, wait, too late. You're already there.
I've been in the corner, honey. All right, well, the incomparable. I can't even say it.
Incomparable.
The incomparable.
Yes.
The incomparable Diana Ross. You've ruined her birthday now.
Who's a big girl? Who's a big girl? Who's my big girl?
Give me a vibe.
May you remain calm in times of fear so you can witness it fade away. Take your time to respond when you're tempted to rush and react. Be like water.
The Lake Water.
I was trying to find a way to use Incomparable in there, but it didn't work.
Well, you can find a way to do it tomorrow. But coming up this hour, we do have a great rest of our show. And then, of course, my favorite segment at the very end. Life Goes On. Find out how an Italian restaurant is making sure they're feeding the people in their community. We may even try to get them on the call. So we have more of that coming up. We're new at Channel Q.
All right, so here at The Morning Beat, we think it's super important that not only we keep you informed, but we keep you entertained, but we're not tone deaf. We know what's going on in the world. We know it's a scary time for so many of us, and we're in this together. So we like to take a little time every day just to sort of check in with each other. My co-host Michaela and I are in her living room right now. She's on the other side of the living room. We're socially distanced. We can't hug each other like we want to.
I know.
And that's kind of getting to me, if I'm being honest. But how are you? How you doing?
You know, I think that after talking with John Taffer, he really put so many things into perspective. I'm from Vegas, so I felt a little bit personally connected to what he was talking about. So many of my friends, some of my family, they are out of work. And I think that how they'll recover from this, I just don't know. And it made me think about even like my brother. You know, there are just people, unfortunately, like my brother, who aren't taking this seriously still. You know, we were on the phone yesterday and I was saying, you know, you got to take this serious and you got to, you know, be careful and you got to hunker down and like your whole city is really coming together. And I think that, you know, my brother doesn't, you know, want to be ignorant, but he just is. And that's frustrating. I'm finding that I'm sort of dealing with people in my family who are not willing to truly understand how crazy of a time this is.
Yeah.
So I feel like on one hand, I'm watching so many people come together and, you know, be in quarantine and isolation.
I could see
and you then you've got other people not listening.
Aren't listening. I could see when we were talking to John Taffer, you were emotionally upset. I could see the tears in your eyes. I could see it was actually like deeply impacting you. I mentioned this earlier, but a friend of ours lost her job last night and the unemployment numbers are coming out and they're terrible and it's scary. And I think as far as family goes, it is really tricky because my mom was calling me crying just days ago because my dad was still going to work at a factory. He has a staff of hundreds of people that he employs in Ohio. And he finally made the decision this week to shut it down.
Yeah.
And my mom was so happy because she was scared. Luckily, for the most part, my family's in little pockets across the country. My parents and my little sister are in Ohio. I have family in Kentucky. My partner has family in Georgia and in New York City, which is really scary. His aunts live in New York, and they're all in their 60s and 70s. His sister is in New York. She's got she's immune compromised. She's raising our niece there, and it's just scary to think how bad things are getting there right now.
Yeah.
And I find myself, I have to check in almost, not even hour by hour, almost in like 10-minute blocks.
Yeah, and
like my mood just goes all over the place.
Same. I woke up this morning and I was feeling super irritable just this morning. And then I was like, girl, snap out of it. And then I was like, actually, no. If that's how you feel, like, sit in these feelings. It's a very scary time. And as much as we want to be optimistic and a feel-good show, we still want to keep it very real.
Yeah, not everything needs to be a motivational quote right now.
Yeah.
Like, we give you a vibe of the day because we're just trying to just trust when we say this, when we give our vibe of the day, we're trying really hard to, like, listen to those words, too, and to put those into action.
Totally.
And I day after day, I've been grateful to have this opportunity to still have a voice right now. I'm most grateful for Rocco, your dog.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loves me.
In his pajamas.
He knows I have anxiety. He knows I feel a certain kind of way about this. And it's funny because I've always sort of been – my parents divorced when I was really young, so I've always sort of been – like the man of the family from a very young age, at least in my mind. And I've always sort of been one of those family members that's sort of like the glue in the family. So I'm checking in on everybody all over the country all the time. But you have to remember, like, check in on you. It's so true.
And that's really imperative. You know, I also want to encourage people to take time with themselves. But I had an issue recently come up where I hadn't spoken to my mom in many years. And when this whole thing came down, literally people thought the world was coming to an end. I reached out and I opened up a tiny bit of that relationship only to remember why we don't have a relationship.
Yeah. But she did. You text me and she did she did have a kind response.
She did. But with that, of course, you know, things very quickly escalated and I had to remind myself, these are my boundaries and this is why we don't speak.
Of course.
And I just want to remind listeners, you can't feel guilty about that. If you haven't spoken to family members or people, you've cut them out of your life and you feel guilty that you need to reach out. Mm-hmm. If you don't, or if you have to take a step back and say, you know what, this isn't working, that's okay too, because we're struggling with our mental health right now, our emotional health.
Yeah, a big one for me is don't get on and just read everything all day long. Get off the news. Don't pay attention more than you have to, because I started meditating again this week because my mental health just needed it. I was spending too much time reading every article that everybody sent me. And also, don't be afraid to tell people in your life, hey, I appreciate what you're trying to do. Don't send me every doom and gloom article
you
come across.
We don't want it. Yeah. So we just want to validate your feelings, whatever you feel. You can also always DM us at We Are Channel Q. If you want to check in, if you want to call in, we're here for you.
Yeah, if you need a friend, you just need, you know, just somebody to listen for a bit, shoot me a DM, shoot Michaela a DM. Yeah. Also individually, if you want to, I respond eventually. I've got a lot of free time.
If you, all the time. So we're just checking on you within this new normal that we have. We want to be the light at the end of the tunnel. We're your friends. We're here to comfort you, and we will get through this together.
We're the light in the tunnel.
The light in the tunnel. I love it. So we are here for you. Do not forget it. Stay positive. Stay in your feelings. Feel them and then let them pass. We have more for you coming up with a new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. As we try to do as often as we can get him on the line, we have our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, joining us right now to give us the latest on COVID-19. James, thank you for joining us. Do we have James?
You know what? The mute button is a whole thing.
Okay, let's try that again.
Actually, let's keep it going. I think it's funny.
Okay, well, here you are. Listen, this is the reality we're living in. So let's just roll with it, shall we?
Right, you got it. You got it.
Be careful on the mute button.
Thanks for joining us. A conversation we've wanted to have with you recently, we haven't quite made it to, we wanted to make time for today, is those who are questioning while we're sort of self-isolating or maybe on quarantine, those taking PrEP. Is this something that people need to continue to do while they're self-isolating, or where do we lie on that?
So this is a really interesting question that actually brings up kind of how we manage PrEP, so oral HIV prophylaxis for individuals in different countries, because in other countries, some European countries, Australia, other parts of the world, they actually do this thing called just-in-time dosing. So instead of taking PrEP every day, a once-a-day pill, every day, always, which is what we recommend here in the United States, other countries actually recommend on the day that you know that you're going to have a sexual encounter, take two, so double your dose, and then take one pill each day following for at least 2 days, preferably three. And that's it. It's sort of like per incident dosing of PrEP.
Huh.
So what's happening now is, you know, a lot of individuals are asking, okay, I have Truvada or Descovy, either one, and sometimes it can be expensive. I'm not having sex because I'm quarantined. Do I really actually need to still take this every day? And the interesting answer is no, you do not. There are a lot of people who PrEP is sometimes very cost prohibitive for them, and so it may be actually beneficial for them to hang on to their PrEP. Don't take it, particularly if they know, if they're really being true and honest and you're really not going out there and having sex and you're actually social distancing, you do not need to take your PrEP at all.
Okay, that makes me curious about something then. So what if in normal times, would it be possible to only do, say you're going on a vacation and you think that you might be getting it on, or you and your partner might be experimenting a bit on vacation. Is it a situation where in the real world that would also be something that's okay to do, like to take it like that, to double dose and then take for 2 to 3 days after?
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, each individuals are different. So some people are on other types of medications and they are also taking PrEP. Those medications might interact. And so for them, it might be more beneficial that they take the PrEP every single day. We also, you know, the part of the reason that here in the United States, the recommendations are to take PrEP every single day is that you can't always plan when that sexual encounter is going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say you had no idea that something was going to go down, but you went to happy hour with your friends. And the next thing you know, it's midnight and you and the bartender are going at it. So what we recommend is, that's why we recommend take it every day. So you're always safe. But in other parts of the world, just exactly like you mentioned, AJ, they say, all right, you know, you're going to go out this weekend. You know, you're going to make it do what it do. And take
listen,
two.
James, I was a bartender for many, many years.
He knows that lifestyle.
No, that was not my reality. I don't know. I must have been working on the wrong bars.
Well, listen, James, I want to talk to you now about people that are living together and making sure that if one does become positive with the coronavirus, how they can still continue isolating from each other living in the same home.
And how do you take care of each other?
And how do you do that?
It's a really difficult thing. You know, unfortunately, what happens is a lot of it depends on your resources. So if you are in a place where you have two bedrooms, two bathrooms, we do recommend if someone is positive with COVID-19 that they use the other bedroom, they use the other bathroom, they use their own utensils. You know, they're not using shared surfaces. Don't use the TV remote. You know, at work, you're cleaning doorknobs and door handles and kitchen counters and things like that as much. Now, we say those recommendations. We say that to try to keep everyone safe. Obviously, you're staying 6 feet away from each other. You're not kissing. You're not embracing. It really is awful. That being said, it's almost impossible to have people who are cohabitating in the same space not infect each other with something that we know is so infectious.
Okay, that brings me – okay, because that's what I'm wondering. I sleep next to my partner every single night of the week. Obviously, we live together. The same for Michaela and Lisa. If he gets it, I have a hard time believing I'm not going to take care of him and lie next to him to make sure he's comfortable at night. But also, on the flip side, if I get it, I'm like, I don't know if I want you near me. I want you to protect yourself. So you're saying it's pretty likely that if one of us gets it, the other one's probably going to.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee, but it's pretty likely that, particularly if, you know, you continue to share the same sleeping space, because, you know, as much as we like to think we all lay like Sleeping Beauty the entire night, we toss and turn and we cough and sneeze.
I sleep like a monster. I sleep more like Shrek.
Stunning. Yeah. I'm incredible.
James, before we let you go, again, we have nurse practitioner James Simmons on the line. I just saw this, our producer is showing me this map, this projection came out of Columbia University. It's basically saying this is what could happen if we do nothing, if we do partial isolation, or if we do a strict lockdown. And it's pretty, pretty daunting. Can you just reiterate to our listeners how important social isolation is right now and why?
Yeah, you know, I think I like to tell people that we only have three tools in our arsenal, three weapons in our arsenal to fight viruses, period, end of discussion. Vaccines, medications, not getting it, prevention, right? And that prevention is social distancing. That prevention is literally not coming into contact with other people who have it. Right now, we are probably at best 2 to 3 months away from an FDA-approved medication to treat this. We are probably at best 9 to 12 months away from a vaccine. So the only other tool that we have is to prevent people from getting it. And the way that that happens with something that seems to be so incredibly infectious and spread without people having symptoms, that's really key, is to just shut everybody down. And listen, if other parts of the world have done much more aggressive social isolation measures, they've shut people down and now they're not having cases. They're not in the crisis that we are now. The problem is we just have not seemed to be able to get a grasp on when we shut down, we got to all shut down.
Well, thank you so much, James Simmons. We appreciate you for always checking in and giving us the COVID-19 update. We hope to talk with you tomorrow and have a great rest of your day. Stay safe.
Stay safe, buddy.
Thank you very much. You too, guys.
Thanks, babe. We have more coming up for you. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
You know what, Michaela Gordon, life does go on. And to all of our listeners out there, thanks for hanging out with us again this Thursday morning. We appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can download our podcast by going over to radio.com, download the app, and listen to all of our past episodes if you've got some free time on your hands, which I think maybe you do. Today, we're going to leave you with three inspirational stories of life going on around the country. This first one comes to us out of Bed-Stuy, New York. So are you familiar with with Slack? Do you know what Slack is?
No.
So we don't have real jobs. My partner has a real job, and he communicates through his entire company, Hearst Media, using Slack. It's usually used in workspace environments. Now it's being used to help people in need. There's a hashtag going around called Bed-Stuy Strong. It's a neighborhood in one of the boroughs in New York City. There's a 70-year-old woman who apparently she needed groceries. She couldn't leave her home. She was feeling uncertain about going out and shopping during these times. So this group is now getting together. There's a Venmo account. You can Venmo money to them, and they will go around and actually deliver groceries. They delivered her groceries. They brought her pasta and meats and vegetables and all sorts of things. Delivered it. These 20-year-old kids are delivering it to these people's apartments and homes. And she says, "Do I need to pay you or anything?" They're like, "Nope. We're good."
Oh my gosh, I love that. All paid for
by donations.
So everybody Venmo Slack right now. Yes. So the more vulnerable can get groceries. Yeah, I love that.
The group
that.
Is called Bed-Stuy Strong. They're the ones raising money. They do have a Venmo account. And it's all volunteers.
That's so sweet.
So great.
Well, I love this story. It's coming out of Salem, North Carolina. Now, Antonio Delisio owns this Italian restaurant, and he's been getting pretty down, not hearing all the bustling and happiness. So a friend of his and longtime client called anonymously and said, "Hey, why don't we go to the restaurant, cook up a bunch of food, and take it down to the Salvation Army shelter?"
Aww.
And so that's what they've been doing. Now, this customer still wants to stay anonymous. I love, but they were able to make nearly enough food to feed 40 people. And now people are starting to donate to this restaurant as well so they can continue making food and taking it to the shelters. So I think I'm going to try to get in touch with this guy, actually.
I think that's
get
so
him on the
great.
Phone.
Well, so many people want to help, but they're afraid to go outside. They're afraid to go out into the community. But there are people who are still willing to do that, who maybe are in a less vulnerable period or season in their lives. And so there's ways to donate financially if you're able to do so. I think that's so wonderful.
Definitely.
Well, this story coming out of Eldridge, Iowa, a family of six. This is the Cook family. They're social distancing, but they're making the most of their time by making fun musical videos. Do we actually have audio of this? Let's go ahead and play that.
Oh, I love this.
Yo, VIP.
Tom, Sarah, and the rest of the Cook family are just, they're posting these all over on Facebook and Twitter, and people are just absolutely loving this. Look,
I'm absolutely loving
they're
it.
They're making the best of a situation. This family is coming together, and they're self-isolating together, and they're bringing joy to people's hearts. I love it.
I think it's so sweet. You know, we really love doing this segment because we want to remind you that with all the crazy things going on, so much positive is happening and so much joy. And on that note, we're done for the day. We hope we've kept you happy and inspired, informed. We have a great show for you tomorrow.
We do. Now go download radio.com, the app, and listen to our podcast from the last couple of months before the world started to fall apart, and keep hanging out with us.
Yes.
Just a suggestion.
Please. We will see you tomorrow. We're still not sure what day that is, but whether it's a Monday, even a Saturday.
It's Friday.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Great. We're here for you.
See you guys.
See you tomorrow. And if you want some fun, take old
blah-dee-blah-da. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.